What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yes, CJ joins us this evening. Again, CJ, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Thank you very, very much.
All right, a movie tonight, American Animals, and a couple of TV shows, Mr. In Between and Maniac. Let's start with the movie, shall we? American Animals. What's this one?
This one's great. I'm so pleased to bring this to your attention. Yeah. In 2012, a British documentarian who'd mainly worked making, I guess, BBC television documentaries, released his first feature film, feature-length documentary. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was called The Imposter. Did you see The Imposter?
No.
It was about a Frenchman who impersonated a boy who'd been missing and then got, quote-unquote, rediscovered by his American family, but was impersonated by, like, a Frenchman in his 20s. It was astonishing, an astonishing documentary. Nominated, I think, for the Academy Award for Best Documentary. The whole thing, it was huge on the scale of feature-length documentaries. And many of us have been waiting to see what he decided to do next. And he's taken a bit of time, but what he's done next is really quite fantastic as well. So this new one, American Animals, expands in a way on the feature-length documentary format and does something that's really quite new. I mean, it's not totally unique. It's not brand new. It hasn't, but it feels fresh, which is that he has interviews with the actual participants in the thing that he is making the movie about and then dramatizes the rest, but on a very A-list scale. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a feature film, but interspersed with interviews with the actual participants. And the thing that he is documenting is a heist. So in 2004, four well-off young Kentucky men, Kentucky in the United States, got together to commit a crime. And the crime that they decided to commit was to, one of them was going to a particular university in Kentucky, and they decided to steal a particular book from the library of the university. And the book, you've probably heard of it, it's one of the most famous editions in the world, which is Orbiton's Birds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so it's one of the most valuable first editions in the entire world because the book includes original paintings by Orbiton of
himself,
his birds.
Of the birds, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so this library had this gorgeous first edition copy sitting in pride of place in one of its special rooms. And, you know, as a library in a university, it was looked after by this lovely mature lady, you know, there was not a lot of security visible. And I think that sort of happens in certain places, in certain libraries and collections is, you know, these lovely sort of institutions of higher learning become relatively complacent in their own comfort. And that's what was going on around this book. This basically invaluable book was not really guarded in the same way that it would be were it the equivalent valued painting in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys decided to get together and steal it. And so first there were two, and then as their plan grew and grew, they added another two guys. And the way that they decided to steal this book was, on the one hand, meticulous, and on the other hand, dunderheaded and idiotic. So they watched a lot of heist movies, and they read books about heists, and they planned it with pieces of paper and charts and the whole thing over a period of months. And they decided that they were going to pull off this fabulous, fabulous heist. So you've got the actual original two guys, and then about halfway through the film when they add the next two guys, you've got the actual next two guys, and they're giving straight direct-to-camera interviews to this wonderful director, Bart Layton. And as I say, he dramatizes what they're talking about with very, very, very good actors and full-on production values. So it doesn't just feel like the recreations on a true crime television show. This is first and foremost a big screen cinematic movie that happens to feature interviews with the real people as well. And rather than sort of cheapen the experience or take you out of it, it really adds something. It really is terrific because not all of the interviewees necessarily agree with each other about the facts or the motivations or the timelines, and they certainly have disagreements with each other about whose idea was what or this, that, and the other. So sometimes you'll see these different version of events then play out in the film, as it were. And then you'll see it from a different point of view and play out differently, which is very, very clever.
All right, it's called American Animals. Here's a little of what it sounds like.
You feel like you're waiting for something to happen.
It pains me to see you embarrass your father.
But you don't know what it is.
You're in or you're out.
That thing that could make your life special.
You're in or you're out.
How can I tell you if I'm in or I'm out without you telling me the first thing about what I might be in or out of?
This would be something dangerous and very exciting.
Mm-hmm. So this is the important thing. It is riotously funny.
Okay.
It is funny because these guys, once they start doing the heist, they're not good at it.
All right. Okay. A couple of TV shows. Before we go there, some stars on American Animals. What are we up for?
I've got to give it 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Okay. It's fantastic.
Okay. A 4-star movie. It's called American Animals. Now, TV shows, a couple of TV shows, Mr. In Between and Maniac. Let's start with Mr. In Between.
Mr. In Between is a crazy story into how it got made. This begins, any day now. I think it actually might have dropped for the first episode last night on Foxtel. 15 years ago, a young filmmaking student named Scott Ryan in Australia made a feature-length film, very, very low budget, I guess as his final project at film school. And it was called The Magician. And it was about a hitman. And he played the hitman. And I saw it at the time. It got a release into cinemas. And it was very, very funny and very, very dry. And it was about a hitman and his day-to-day life. And the humor came from the fact that he was having to do these terrible things, i.e. murder people, but he also had to, you know, feed the dog or, you know, buy the groceries. And that is a trope that's existed possibly since the beginning of cinema or the beginning of entertainment, but certainly I would say in the last 20 or 30 years, particularly since the rise of Quentin Tarantino and all the people who came in the wake of Quentin Tarantino. And I would call it comedy about the banality of evil. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's comedy that involves criminals doing day-to-day things and that juxtaposition. You know, when you watch film noir, all you ever saw was the bad guys doing bad things, but you never saw them, you know, going to the bathroom or buying the groceries or taking out the trash. And once Tarantino came along, you know, you saw that stuff. Or, for example, in Goodfellas, when famously in Goodfellas that the criminal has to deal with the cocaine, but also the pasta, you know, and it's this kind of thing. And this is what The Magician did very, very well. So for 15 years, this fellow Scott Ryan, who was very, very, very good as his hitman character in The Magician, has been trying to do something else with both his idea and his career. And nothing's really come. He keeps getting things set up that have been shot down and this, that, and the other. I think he went and spent some time in Hollywood and auditioned there and got no roles whatsoever. And then 15 years later, Nash Edgerton comes along, who's an Australian stuntman, actor, and director, and says, you know, I love that film that I saw of yours all those years ago. Let's do something. You know, Foxtel wants to make something with me. And so now here is this series called Mr. In Between 15 years later. And when you go look at Scott Ryan's IMDb page, there's been nothing in between. So maybe that's why he's called this Mr. In Between, because he's been trying and not really getting things up in between. And here he comes back 15 years later with the same character. So what you've got is a very dry, very droll comedy about the banality of evil. It's the same thing again. This guy's not so much a hitman, although, you know, he does necessarily kill people, but he's just a bad guy. He's an odd jobber. Mm-hmm. He'll do hits, he'll do things. He does things for higher up criminals in Sydney, but he's also a single dad, so he's either divorced or separated, but he's got this lovely daughter, so he's a very good father, single dad. He also goes, looks after his brother, who's suffering from, I think, MS, and he's also, you know, got a casual relationship going with a girl that he meets at the dog park, and he's, you know, essentially he's got to take out the trash, look after his kid, take his dog for a walk, try and have a relationship, essentially be a normal guy who also happens to be a hitman slash violent criminal. And it's all done relatively well. And once again, Scott Ryan is tremendously magnetic as this character that he's created. The trouble is, over those 15 years, we've seen this idea of comedy an awful lot. So if that still sounds fresh to you, the idea that a criminal has a private life, then you might really enjoy this. But if you feel you've seen that an awful lot in the intervening decade and a half, then this will feel like more of the same.
Okay, this is Mr. In Between.
Tell us a little bit about why you're here.
My name is Ray. I'm 40. Got a kid. Divorced.
Do you think that you've got an anger problem?
No.
Okay.
All right.
It's very Australian larrikin dry humour.
Okay. Maniac.
Maniac. This is very, very opposite to Mr. In Between, where Mr. In Between is very, very casual and low-key. This is very high concept. Essentially, it is science fiction. It is set, I suppose, in an alternative reality to our own. It certainly doesn't feel like it's set in the future, and nor is it set in a sort of fantastical world. It's just sort of a different world to our own. For example, as far as I can tell, people don't really have mobile phones and people still read newspapers, but also the technology is a little too advanced for it to be the 90s. So as I say, just an alternate reality to our own that's close but not the same. Mm-hmm. And it's about two young troubled people played by Jonah Hill and Emma Stone, who both for differing reasons, but both partially economic reasons, decide to take part in an experimental drug study. And in taking part in the experimental drug study, discover things about themselves and deal with their own traumas, etc. This is a very expensive television show. It is extremely beautifully produced and very well directed by a gentleman named Kerry Joji Fukunaga, who has just been tapped to direct the next James Bond movie and directed season one of an excellent television show called True Detective a few years back.
So it's got some talent.
It certainly has some talent. It's gorgeous to look at and it's really fun. It's very well designed and everything, but it does go into these characters' heads a bit. And what I mean by that is, A lot of the show takes place inside their own brains while they're on this drug. Uh-huh. And so while that allows for limitless creative possibilities, it also allows for zero stakes because you're not in the real world. You're inside their heads. So that might be the drawing line for some people. Some people might be like, well, if it doesn't matter, if it's all just taking place inside their heads, if the whole thing is like a dream, then I don't need to see it.
All right. Where do you catch this one, Maniac?
That one's on Netflix.
Okay, Netflix. Here is a little of what Maniac sounds like.
Once the curfew starts, lights go out, talk
to you. You're not supposed to bother.
Please.
What are my instructions? The pattern is the pattern. You're my contact. What are my instructions? Please throw the pattern. Please throw the
instructions are to go back to your pod and await my signal.
I'm going to save the world.
We will tell you when there's recreation time.
Yes.
We will also tell you when you have.
You're going to save the world.
We will tell you when to sleep.
But not if you blow our cover.
Mm-hmm. Emma Stone is very good in it.
She would be, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
All right, Maniac on Netflix, Mr. In Between on Foxtel.
Yep.
And American Animals, a 4-star movie.
Yeah, very, very good.
Okay, thanks, CJ.
Thank you, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.